time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. We in this bitch.
As ever.
There it is. There it is, man. What's good with you? How you feeling? What's the word?
I'm feeling good, actually. You know what I'm saying? Feeling good. You know what I mean? Feeling strong. You know, feeling the power of motherfucking reinvention, even though I ain't reinvented shit yet. I can feel it coming. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So,
that's I'm just in the lab with myself, you know what I'm saying?
And nice.
Unlike other times, you know what I'm saying? In these particular times, it feel like that the shit is like close. I'm close to a breakthrough.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Now that's yeah. I need a breakthrough. I feel like I'm in a lab. I'm trying not to be in reluctant labs.
Right.
You know, sometimes, nigga, you know, reluctant to publish or whatever like that. But yeah, man, that's good when you, especially when you feel the you can feel the strength of whatever it is that you're about to to put on the world. Like you like in the crib pacing, looking at whatever the prototype is. Like, oh shit, whether it's a piece of content, whether it's some physical media, you know that. Ooh, Ada. You know, it's that, I always sense that anticipation that like that first day of school shit where you got your that your outfit laid out on the bed, like, oh, I'm about to kill these motherfuckers. Oh, these niggas don't even understand. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I ain't got no prototype, proof of concept, or none of that. I just got faith, and I can feel it. You know what I'm saying?
Shit, that's good enough. That's part of the. That's a big part of the whole thing. That's a huge part of the situation.
Yeah, no doubt. Know. It's the faith and the desire to get there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, man.
Those are the two things, and usually I would need a prototype or a proof of concept or, you know what I'm saying, something like that. But I ain't got that, so I'm feeling like shit.
Right.
Let's go. Let's get it. That's the first is tentative than a motherfucker. I don't know. I'm scared.
Right.
But now it's like, okay, boom. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Let's go.
That's what's up. Nah, I like that shit. I like that. I like the energy of that, man. I hope it's like a contact high. I need some of that. You know? You know what I mean? I need to be around that type of energy, man. I need to have more conversations. I've been trying to have some conversations, you know. Here and there I've been having, so I could have more, you know, touching base with people. But yo, if you fuck with me, got my number, call me, because I might not call you, but call me. I'll pick up the phone. I need to talk to some people other than myself. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. Yeah, man, I'm picking up the horn.
Yeah, I am my own consultant.
Yeah. Nah, just reaching out, just trying to have, you know, trying to, conversation is good energy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully, more often than not. More often than not, when you're talking to, you know, having a good conversation and you just seeing new perspectives and people's takes on shit like that, man. Like it's one of those things, man. The power of a good conversation is, man, it's up there. It's way, way up there. You know what I mean? So yeah. Yeah, man, hit me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to talk. Yo, hit me up. Let's talk.
hit me.
So yeah, hit me. You know what I mean? Call me now. Anyway. Shit. But yo, I'm chilling, dude. I'm enjoying life. I'm trying. Yeah, you know, for the most part. Yeah. I've been, you know, enjoying life, I was talking about earlier, just trying to monitor the equalizer on my just stress levels and things of that nature. Things that I'm, you know, you don't need to bug out about that. Bring that down a little bit. There ain't no need to be bugging over that. Just understanding, and that's just as much as I could do, but understanding like a lot of shit you can't control. most of the shit you can't control. Can't
control the shit. That's my biggest lesson of the last year is that you don't control outcomes. You know what I'm saying? And people don't like to hear that sometimes. They're like, oh, you know, you got a big influence on it. And, yeah, you do. You could do all the things you could do. But that's all you could do. You know what I'm saying? Right. How it turns out, how it ends up, what affects that, it's not on you. You know what I'm saying? And you, a lot of times I would take it like, okay, if I do this, 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 and this, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers should be fucking with that shit. You know what I'm saying? But you don't control that outcome. And because you had wins, you think you control the outcome. But then if you really sit back and look at it, you just did what was available, took advantage of an opportunity, something came across your desk, something called on your phone, and you just went with it. And then it happened. But you didn't control that outcome. You thought it could be this way, or you thought it could be a better way, or you thought it might be a smaller way. But you don't control that shit. Sometimes it worked real big. You like, damn, look at that. But that ain't you. You played your part. And that's what you can do. Play your part.
Right. Yeah.
Be ready. You know what I'm saying? Be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. You can control your output, but that outcome, that's not on you. That will see what happens. But, you know, have some conversations. Let the people know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, get in the world a little bit. Be out there. Mm-hmm. but yeah, man. Now that is real shit. Speaking of, I don't even know if I'm speaking of this, but I'm trying to force a transition, but it ain't even man, speaking. Of. I mean, it was speaking. Yeah, I was having this thought, man. Just a little bit earlier today. I've been having this thought for a while, but I'm like, I'm all the way in it now. Like, if I'm having a hard time finishing a book or finishing a movie, I'm not gonna finish the shit, and I'm not gonna feel no type of way about it. Yeah, man. You know, I used to kick myself, beat myself up over the shit. You know, look, there's a reason that I haven't gotten through. There's some times I challenge, you know, you got to challenge yourself. You know, I used to hear that from readers. Yo, you got to challenge yourself, da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, yeah, but there's also this, like, undue stress of this loon. Like, it feels like homework, you know? And none of this shit is homework. Like, I'm not in school. This is something I picked up for leisure or maybe for some information. Mm-hmm. And I'm really feeling this more so because, you know, I'm heavy at the library, you know. So, like, there's no library. That library card that's America's first black card. There's no limit on that shit, you know. So you can get a little thirsty and a little greedy and just say, I want to read that. I'm going to read this. And some things I tear through and some things I'm like, it's still like, woo, we got a little while to go. And it doesn't really seem to be picking up. And it's like, now, am I hoarding these books or what? Or there's movies where sometimes, or even TV shows where either I put a pen in it or I put it on the watch later list and that shit starts to build up and all of that. And it just started to take up more like hard drive space in my mental where there should be none. Like, I could use this energy on creating some other shit. Like, and the thing about a book, the thing about a movie, the thing about a TV show is that shit, once it's created, it is there. So you could always go back, finish what you could finish. You don't got, you know what I mean? Get to the end of that book that you enjoy. Enjoy reading that book, and then maybe you'll revisit, or maybe you won't. You know, and I'm talking to me at this moment. But yeah, I had this moment where I was saying that shit. I was looking at some of these little books that was unfinished, these little bookmarks in them and shit. And I felt all that stress I was putting on myself, man, like I'm cramming for the fucking MCAT or something like that. And I'm like, man, go ahead. I'm about to bring this on back to the library. Stop playing, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Get this fine ticket off my account. But that's where I'm at, man. I just felt like, that's a public service announcement to myself. But what you about to ask?
What was the book you gave up on?
See, I didn't even like how you said this. You look at that. Nah, I'm joking. There's a couple of them, but there's one book called, what is that shit? Thy Neighbor's Wife. Thy Neighbor's Wife is the name of the book by this writer, Gay Talese, who's like a OG magazine writer, mm-hmm. right? He's like well-regarded, like one of his most popular articles. There's this article, I want to say it might have been in Esquire or something like that, called Frank Sinatra Has a Cold. And a lot of like magazine writers, like it's been, I've heard about this shit for years. I probably read the joint too. It's like one, he was like one of those writers that kind of, he was early on, even maybe even before like Lester Bank, like one of those writers that kind of knew how to kind of weave himself into the story. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? But like just, you know, people look at that as like one of those, one of those great articles. Right, that's a whole nother tangent we could get into too. Mythology, right? But we'll get into that a little later. But you know, it was just like it was a revered and shit like that. So I was like, huh, interested. So then, you know, I at some point read it, and I think it was a great article. It was a good article or whatever. And then you know, I'm talking about things that were canceled or whatever. So there was this there was this podcast. Wait, where the fuck did I? Actually, I heard him. I think I was listening to one of his books or one of his interviews via Audible a while ago, and or somebody was talking about him, right? Mm-hmm. And they were just like, "Yay, put out this book, and this book is one of his best books. So excellent, this, that, and the other thing." You know, again, mythology. So I was like, I think that, you know, the article was cool, but like the people that like they just. They just like fucking glazing this shit. You know what I mean? So I'm like, let me go ahead and see what it is. And then I put it in my little thing to the, you know, the library shit. And it was a little weight on it, which is always a clear indication. Okay, this shit got a little, you know what I mean? A little traction on it. It's not a new book. You know, people fuck with it. So finally I get it. It's a thick ass paperback. And it's all right. It's not a bad read. It's just not the most, and it's not that exciting to me. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like just the story that he's telling, it's all right. But it's other books that, like I told you, I'm getting a whole lot of other shit. So like, there's other books that are coming through the, like I'm processed. I'm getting through. I'm blowing through these shits. Boom, boom. You know what I mean? Taking that one back. Boom. And I've still got this off to the side. You know what I mean? I'm probably about 100 pages or something in there, but I still got a ways to go. But every time I pick it up, it feels slow. You know, it's like, all right. And then I'm holding this shit that I done had it. It's overdue. And it's well overdue now, so much so that, like, what happens is, you know, there's no real fines at the New York Public Library, but after that shit is overdue 30 days, they charge you for whatever the book costs, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll knock it off as soon as you bring the book back. Mm-hmm. But you also, because I used the, you know, the little internet interface, so you'll see how many days over that shit's starting to get nasty. And then as somebody that borrows, you know, it's a society, you know what I'm saying? It's a community type thing. I'm borrowing it. You know, this person wants to borrow it. It's been on hold for dumb long. And it's like, are you holding it or are you hoarding it? Like, if you ain't going to read that shit, you know what I mean? Pass that. You know what I'm saying? It's like what they, you know. What they say, nigga, why you babysitting? Yeah, why you babysitting the blunt? Nigga, what's going on? Nigga, you nursing? Come on, pass that. What's going on? Let that shit live. You know, and it'll be there. Like, you could come back to it. So that's probably the number one book. There's a couple others, but not to that degree. And yeah, I think I'm gonna go ahead and just get that shit up out of here. True. But it looks like a challenge. You know what I'm saying? Is that part of it? You like, damn, dog, like should I it feels like there's a part of it where it's almost like you're hanging your head in shame because you didn't get to the end of it. And right. It's like, it's a fucking book, bro. This is not, right. this is not your manifesto. This is right. not what this, you know.
And it ain't going nowhere. Shit.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And then the books that you're flying through, are these more modern books or, you know what I'm saying, or are they of the same era?
Some of them, a lot of them are more modern books, even more like relatable books. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even trying to judge some of these books. You know what I mean? Well,
no doubt. I'm judging right now, though. So,
go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? It's a book from the 80s. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Where the writing was a lot different and probably a little more verbose. You know what I'm saying? The title gives you Tyler Perry, but then the book giving you Encyclopedia. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit of, you know what I'm saying, a little pump fakeness about it. Not intentionally, it's just time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The era has changed. 80s ain't right there no more. You know what I'm saying? Shit, was that 40-some years ago. You know what I'm saying? 40
and
years
it's
ago.
And it's well before the 80s. Like, the book might have come out in the 80s, but the people that they're talking about is even before that. And that's another part of it. It's like people that, you know, I may not really relate to, you know, in a real way. These are like figures of the past. You know what I'm saying? Like they have some significance, but not much to me to where I'm like, I can't wait to hear more about such and such, you know?
And these people, black or white?
These people in that book are white folks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
from
you
what,
know,
kind of,
like,
what kind of class?
Like, you know, it's a mixture of, they seem to, and I'm only early on, but yeah, they seem to be of note. They come from decent means. The thing is, like, where I'm at is split, where it's like, it's talking about, basically in a nutshell from what it is, it's like kind of, from what I gather, it's like this dissection of, like, the puritanical approach to, it's like they kind of breaking down the sexual revolution of that era, right? So like where a lot of these people were very much like real conservatives, like they weren't out. So it's talking about a little bit about like Hugh Hefner, like when he first, as a youngster, when he first started doing the whole Playboy thing, right? And then it talks about this girl, I want to say her name is Diane Weber, who was like one of the first big playmates. But even before that, like, so it talks about like the early, I'll say like pornography, but I guess, you know, if you put it in that thing, like pinup models and shit like that, and how these people were real, you know, like they were nervous to be judged by reading these type of magazines and all of this type of shit. And there's something that's interesting to it on a certain level, on an anthropological level. But honestly, like, it kind of, like I said, it's wild. It's very long ago. You know, we all the way over here, and I appreciate what happened, you know, but like the unpacking of it is a little like, it's a little tedious, and like I said, it's like, it ain't really that, it's not anything that's like that I'm intimately that interested in beyond just, you know, theoretically, you know what I'm saying?
And you're speaking of, you know, this era's sexual revolution, which a few years later, after this book was published, the whole sexual revolution changed because in came AIDS. You know what I'm saying? So it created not an obsoleteness, but it just changed the whole vibe of that revolution, which leads to a whole different vibe in today's sexual revolution. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure you have to really take yourself out of time and space and put yourself into that book. That's a vacation book.
If you
go to a vacation to chill, not to partake.
Right. Yeah, it's funny.
That's a cabins book. We in the cabins.
In the cabin. a good rustic Airbnb. You know what I mean? This ain't near the beach. That's not a beach read. I would say
it's not a beach read.
No. But it's, what will be funny is if somebody listens to this podcast, it's like, oh, that's the motherfucker that got this shit. You know what I mean? They in the queue waiting for the shit to become available. Look, it's coming your way. Don't even worry about it.
But speaking of sexual revolution in books, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I got tricked. Not tricked, but I thought I was going to go and grab the Audible of Trina's new book, Baddest Bitch. But it was a pre-order. So I did put it in my order for October, I think 8th or something like that it comes out. But I'm very interested to see what Trina got to say, because she's from where I'm from, and I'm of her era, you know what I'm saying? And she posted a picture I saw the picture a couple of days ago of her and Pinky, who I always thought was her sister. Everybody always said that was her sister. But in the caption, she wrote that, you know what I'm saying, Pinky kind of moved in with them at a certain point, and she lived with them and became like her sister because they hung out, did everything together. And you always heard, you know what I'm saying, Pinky was like a famous name before I heard of Trina. Because, you know what I'm saying, I obviously wasn't from their neighborhood, but I always heard of Pinky. You know what I'm saying? She was famous amongst all the famous people. You know what I'm saying? And then Trina came up when she started to get more fame after I was already in college. You know what I'm saying? So that's to me. You know what I'm saying? Some people probably already knew both of them all the way. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not that person. So I was interested to see how she was going to lay out Miami from that era. You know what I'm saying? Because I am working on a project that will cover that era. And I want to see how it went through her lens. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a very different lens than what I'm looking at. You know what I mean? They were inside baseball in certain spaces where I was just a spectator. You know what I'm saying? And I would like to see what she had to say about the city at the time.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. And this is Miami Pinky, just to be clear. This ain't porno Pinky.
No, not porn star Pinky.
Okay, shout out to her
Pinky
too.
Cherokee. No, this this Pinky, Dade County, 305, Lee City.
You know what I'm saying? No doubt. Shit. What was the last good book you read when you were like, this book? Is a good-ass book.
Good book. Shit. Last book that I read was Rich Paul's book.
Oh, right. Yeah, Lucky Me?
Yeah, Lucky Me, Rich Paul story, which is also interesting because he's from the neighborhood that my dad now from in Cleveland. You know, all my cousins, I used to go to Cleveland in the summers. So he's from that neighborhood. So it's very interesting to see, again, inside of the city that you always kind of dropped into as a spectator almost, you know what I mean? Because it wasn't your city, but you dropped there. You there for months, and you know what it's about, but you don't have to go to school with these kids. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be in the same space all the time. So that was really interesting to read his take on the city and that neighborhood, you know what I'm saying, being that, you know what I'm saying, he in the same space with my people, and my cousin and him is real cool, you know what I'm saying? So it made him make a whole lot more sense to me. And I understand why he is, to me, real as he is. Because he's, you know what I'm saying, he not just like an industry nigga, you know what I'm saying? I giving you lip service. He like a nigga who really gives care to his position, his job. He understands it in a way where he's not just doing it for the check, you know what I'm saying? He doing it as a nigga, you know what I'm saying? These my niggas, and we gonna make it work for my niggas, you know what I'm saying? And that's how it feels. Even though it's a big old UTA agency now, you know what I'm saying? It's bigger than just LeBron. It's a whole lot of motherfuckers. It's basketball, football, baseball, soccer. It's a multinational corporation at this point, but as an agent, he treat that shit like, yo, these my niggas. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate that because, you know, he wasn't always at the top. You know what I'm saying? He took that shit to the top. So shouts out to that man. And that was a good read for me because it helped fill in some gaps.
That's what's up. I haven't checked that one out, but I've been thinking about that one. Yeah, that's cool.
That was the last one I read. Mm-hmm. So probably not the last one I need to read, but that's the last one I read.
Yeah, that's cool. What else is good with you?
Man, it's just, you know, working, you know what I'm saying? And putting out fires and doing, you know what I'm saying, management stuff and dealing, watching, you know what I'm saying? The trick about work now is just watching young folks manage their early career. You know what I'm saying? You're managing them, but they're trying to get somewhere. So it's very interesting to put yourself back in time to early career. Like when you just get started and you know what I'm saying, you want everything. You want it fast. Right. You know what I'm saying? You always feel like you're behind the clock, like you behind schedule. You know what I'm saying? You're too old. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got it together how you wanted to have it together. And sometimes I be looking and just laughing, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, you 26, you know what I'm saying? When I was 26, nigga, that shit was a trip. You know what I'm saying? I was nowhere close to getting to where I was going in my mind. You know what I mean? 4 or 5 years later, you made shit happen. But during the time, it was just like you just worried a lot about, you know what I'm saying? Niggas was,
yeah,
your girlfriends judging you. Like, you ain't got this. You ain't got no house yet. And like, what? You know what I'm saying? And you put that pressure on yourself. And I could see the pressure in the young people now and help them manage through it, you know what I'm saying? And try not to be at a place where everything is against me. Because it's easy for like young people to feel like everything is against them. And really it'd be like, man, just stick in there, do the thing, do the work. It's not about every single thing you do. It's like at that age, you think everything you do is the one going, you know what I'm saying, hit it out the park. And you're like, nah, man, it's not that. Just keep going. It'll all add up in a minute. But you got to keep going. So I'm dealing with a lot of that. I'm catching inspiration from that. That's part of why, you know, I'm feeling, you know what I'm saying, up with myself is because just putting myself in the shoes of young people. And I saw this post. Saw when Anthony Anderson said, always keep you some old heads around you, which is, you know what I'm saying, almost disrespectful, but it's respectful at the same time. Can't even be mad with them. You know what I'm saying? And he said, keep some OGs. Like, keep some old heads around you.
Anthony Edwards or Anderson?
Yeah, Anthony Edwards. Okay. He had a picture from the Olympics, and his quote was, keep some old heads around you.
Hilarious. Yeah, that's
KD
funny.
And fucking LeBron.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Ain't that funny? And it's the truth to him.
Yeah. And I made the comment on it, you know what I'm saying? And I said the same thing goes back around, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Always keep you some youngins around you, you know? And that way you could filter back and forth of, you know what I'm saying, all of the work that you put in, the experience you got, the losses that you had, that you took, the head bumps, you bumped your head up on the wall. You could all give that experience in you know what I'm saying, in your tails, in your help, in your, you know what I mean, in your management style. And then you could always receive the ambition and the desire and all that shit at the same time, you know what I mean? And it works both ways.
Right. Okay, so with that said, like you were saying that, you know, you're managing a lot of the younger people and feels like you're saying, look, don't put so much pressure on yourself, especially you so early in your career. You'll realize as long as you present in it and doing what you need to do, it's going to work out for you, right?
Possibly.
Now, no, possibly. I mean, anyway. Shit. Hopefully. Yeah. And it, I mean, look, yeah, it, you know, and that's all relative in any way. You know what I'm saying? one man's bronze is another man's all. You know what I mean?
Whatever. But all that.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just talking shit because I'm in the Olympic state of mind. We'll get into that in a second. But I would say, I would ask you though, because that's something that is pretty concrete. I know you say you feel the energy or the ambition or whatever, but you're working around a lot of these young people. What is something that you have pulled beyond, and not to call it broad, but yeah, beyond just like, you know, ambition and energy. What is something that at your age you've seen, like something that you've learned from working with the youth that, you know, maybe it wasn't explicit that they put you on to, but what is something that you've learned so, that is directly from working with young people?
So the thing about it is it's rarely about what they necessarily put you on to, other than some music or some new slang or how they move or whatever. That's not the thing that move you, because that shit come and go. It be some new slang next week. You know what I'm saying? The real thing is just kind of like the, what they call that shit? The right now of it all. You know what I'm saying? And it's like sometimes mm-hmm. you got some people that'll be like, hey, I know such and such. I can call them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's some right. shit that I rested my hat on my career when I was young. One of the early lessons I learned is that I could call anybody in this world that's black, that's doing something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. once you start doing shit, you ain't that many people removed from anybody in this world doing shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like you doing some real shit, like some shit, national shit, or at least some high local shit. It's going to be attached to somebody in London that's doing the same kind of shit some kind of way. You know what I mean? In Africa, it's like this world starts to shrink. So mm-hmm. when you get around people and they be like, yeah, I know such and such. And you know, and as you get of age, you like, yeah, you know that stuff. But you know, like, I ain't calling no nigga unless I got a check. You know what I'm saying? Calling that nigga unless it's something. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then
right.
you get old and then it ain't nothing. Now you ain't caught nobody. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. when you young, you just be calling niggas. You know what I'm saying? You just be yeah. like, hey, I was thinking, da 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 da. They might say no, but you be calling the motherfucker, man. And it's just like, you know, our homeboy Will was telling me about my son. He was like, yo, he need to just hit me more often. You know what I'm saying? He's like, you know, he don't hit me. He need to hit me once a week. And to his mind, it might seem like a whole lot. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm bothering this man. But... Mm-hmm. when you an old head, you want a young nigga to hit you with that, you know what I'm saying, urgency. All the, you know right. what I mean? So right. that you could tell him no, but you could also tell him yes when you need to. So to be around people who just, yo, fuck it, I'ma call him. You know what I'm saying? Let's call him, bring him in. Like, okay, you want to meet such and such? Okay. You know what I'm saying? And right. I just remember being that way, and I remember that part of it helping a nigga grow. Because the nigga that you called all the time gonna end up being over here doing something else differently 5-6 years from now, 10 years from now. Be like, oh yeah, that's my man. Shit, I used to talk to that nigga every week. Let me holler at this nigga and congratulate him. You know what I'm saying? That shit go a long way in moving around. And knowing people. And people like, well, damn, how you got them tickets? And how you did this? And how you was over here? And how you went? Because, you know what I'm saying? These people that was with me, you know what I'm saying? These people that I was with, that I put myself with. You know what I'm saying? The people that you reached out to and talked to and learned from, and they learned from you. And a lot of times young people think so much about the work that they forget all about the surrounding shit with their peers and with, you know what I'm saying, the actual community and culture that they're working in, which is way more important, because the job may go, but that community and that culture, they just growing. They just continue to grow. You know what I'm saying? They move to different places. They get better jobs. They, you know what I'm saying? They go from New York to LA, from LA to Atlanta to Miami, back to, you know what I mean? And by the time that happens, you know motherfuckers all over the place, and you really connected, and you really can do 1 + 1, you know what I'm saying, and make it make 4.
Yeah. Nah, I'm with that. I agree with you on a lot of that. It's interesting, too, just to see the spectrum of anxiety based on... on generation. When you said, like, the younger cat is like, damn, I don't want to bother... Then you said, and the older cat is like, I ain't gonna call unless I got a check. it's like these points of resistance that'll make you not pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back to what I was saying, I mean, and to the point that when you get on the fucking podcast, you're like, yo, give me a call into the void. Pick up the phone and call who you want to talk to. I think, honestly, that's part of why some of these books, a lot of these books, especially if I'm reading like business books and things of that nature, or self-help books or whatever, it's like, it's almost like having a conversation with somebody. But that's why I say having a real conversation with a real person is so much. It's like I said, it's on a level that is damn near unprecedented, you know, because the thing is, when you're picking up that book, you kind of know what to expect, what you're mm-hmm. going to read. Oh, this book is about this. When you pick up that phone and you call that person, all you really have is, you know, a reference point from the last conversation in the relationship that you may have with that person, if you do at all.
Mm-hmm.
But from there, it can go anywhere. That person could, you know, their opinion or take on some shit is way different than what you expected. They could be going through some crazy shit mm-hmm. that will kind of, you know, give you some perspective as to where you are, or actually activate you to mm-hmm. you know, help them, or you know what I mean, or just lend an ear. Like, you don't know right. where it's very much a choose your own adventure thing, right. but it's being engaged in the world, being right. engaged in the universe, and right. it's going to benefit you in some right. capacity.
But and I need to yeah. hear that, because I'm type of nigga, you know what I'm saying? I ain't talked to a nigga in 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I'm like, damn, this yeah. nigga even remember a nigga, you know what I'm saying? You know, be like, yeah, oh, you yeah. collected all these numbers in your phone and shit. Like, yeah. damn, dude, these niggas even remember me? And,
right.
and most of it is the anxiety of that first mm-hmm. minute. Hey, hello, who this?
Right.
Ali. And then you don't know what the fuck finna happen after that.
yeah. That's
the
way it goes.
Shit you made up in your head, but that's how it be.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. This is a tip to, I don't give a fuck to any generation. Stop having conversations with people that are not in the conversation. Mm. And when I say that, it was not a way to promote the podcast, but what I'm saying is, don't let your anxiety have you have a conversation with a person that you really, in reality, haven't spoken to or not speaking to presently. But you say, I'm going to say this, and they're going to say that, so I probably shouldn't even call. Make the call. Have the conversation, the real conversation, not the fantastical shit that's going on in your fucking, you know, mm-hmm. anxious mind. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. Speaking of old heads, young bucks, and, you know, just saying shit, and particularly Anthony Edwards, I think we talked about the cat Noah Lyles last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we was talking about, you know, how he's become a bit of a, at least on the internet, you know, a mm-hmm. Bit of a villain of sorts. Amongst mm-hmm. some people, because he's one of these people that has he's a oopan, you know what I'm saying? Maybe not an oopan.
That's like a babysitter.
Yeah, that what is that? No, that's what do they call that? Au pair. No, I was trying to create a, acronym for like unpopular and unpopular I was gonna say unpopular opinion ass nigga, but see, that would be a UOAN, but I forget where the P came from. Anyway, this man is one of these cats that kind of speaks what he feels, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? There seems to be no filter. You know what I'm saying? It seems to be so, you know, it's the first part that got him kind of on the list of, what's up with your man? You know, that list was when he questioned the world champion nature of NBA players. Mm-hmm. It's like, y'all the world champions of the United States, you know, which, again, we spoke about it last week, could be valid. So going back to, like you said, being kind of young and maybe impatient or whatever, you know, he won gold and he won bronze over here in the Olympics. He's a, you know, he's track and field star. He's doing his thing. I don't know if we had this conversation. Mm-hmm. We might have had this conversation about, you know, Olympians, particularly Olympians that are in, you know, areas that are not really highlighted outside of the Olympics. They got a small window of negotiation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to be hot for about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. They're going to be on fire. And 4 years, it's going to, you know, hopefully we can get back to another one of them windows. But in that window, we need to get it cracking. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know, one of his things is he wants to have a signature shoe with Adidas. Adidas has, like, I guess, like that guy, like a little, you know, like a PE form, you know, but it's not his own shoe. They just mm-hmm. get him some nice shoes and, you know, this is just for you. They don't sell this, but it's not a signature shoe. Nobody could buy a shoe. Nobody could buy the new Noah Lyles Adidas. Right. So, but he want that because he's right. over here getting medals and shit like that.
Right. Right.
So in the midst of, I guess, his frustration, you know what I mean? And being unpopular, he, I guess, in an article with Time, you know, Adidas must have said to him, yo, come out to this Anthony Edwards sneaker release party. You know what I'm saying? Rub some shoulders, shake some hands. You know what I mean? Just come through as our guest. You're an Adidas athlete. Yeah. So he makes the, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the quote in front of me, but the quote was basically, you want me to go to a party of a guy that ain't even get to the NBA finals for his sneaker release? So, like, now you done shot at this other cat who you shouldn't have. You know, I understand where you're coming from. I understand the frustration. You like, yeah, hold on. You know what I mean? I'm having a conversation with you. Now you want me to go over, you know, and I understand probably the pressure's on because that window is small. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got
especially
a couple
for
more
a track,
days.
A track runner.
Yeah, they not talking about that shit in October. Not to the same degree. So
until the next 4 years, man.
Right. So it's like strike while the iron is hot, literally. Like, let's get it. So you want me to go and, you know, go over to this cat. Now, one, you ain't need to kind of, you know, you ain't need to shoot off at the, you know what I'm saying, Paul? You ain't need to fucking get that motherfucker astray. You know what I'm saying? Because even if the cat didn't get to the finals, he's like a superstar in the NBA. This motherfucker's playing like 82 games. Like, there's a lot going on.
This nigga that took his team to the playoffs, bike.
Yeah, man. Shit is a lot. The season is a lot longer than the Olympics. So I could understand the frustration, but your metrics is, yeah, somebody kind of got to get in there and say, yo, family, you bugging a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you bugging a little bit, you know, maybe go there, you know what I'm saying? And you know, play the room, be cool, you know what I'm saying? Rub some show, say what up. Say, yo, introduce yourself to people, build some alliances, you know? You know what I'm saying? Try to kind of come across some of that unpopular, but I understand being outspoken and being, you know, impatient or whatever the fuck, but I think that's something that sometimes you almost have to learn that the hard way. You know what I mean? Like, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And you may have a baby point somewhere in there. But if you really could just pull back and look at the full picture, you'll realize you probably shouldn't have said that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But in his world, man, like you said, the window is short. Everybody on that track is competing for the space. You know what I'm saying? That gold medal space where you get the endorsements and the, you know what I'm saying? You got a small window to get that check. And who knows if you're going to make it back there 4 years from now. You know what I'm saying? And most right. do, but you know what I'm saying? Who knows what that's going to be for the next 4 years? Shit, I'm getting grown. Nigga, I'm out here. Shit, I got bills. I'm trying to get there, you know? So what we're doing is talking about him, which is what he needs. You know what I'm saying? Whether that's good, bad, or ugly, we talking about him. You know what I'm saying? They on the motherfucking sports shit every day. asking all the athletes, they ask Tyreek Hill, you know what I'm saying? Tyreek Hill, like, I beat that nigga running. You know what I'm saying? Right. So right. Now that you know, you don't be surprised you see the foot race, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On the side street somewhere. But with, you know what I'm saying? With the big gamble and the ESPN cameras, and then, you know what I'm saying? With everybody getting a little check. So, you know what I'm saying? He is put himself in the conversation, yeah. For one. You
right.
Know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then y'all might not like him, but he put himself in the conversation.
That's a good-ass point. And you know what? To that point, you know what I'm saying? Not to piggyback. I hate motherfuckers who do that shit in the conference room. Hey, to piggyback on that. But no, to that point, that's real talk. Because even though Anthony Edwards caught a stray, Anthony Edwards is someone that's known for being quite, I think what I liked about the spirit of his campaign, his rollout, was him saying shit that more often than not probably, I don't say shouldn't have been said, but you wasn't hearing people say. Like, the one thing that caught my attention was when he first started to drop his sneaker, and he was going through a bag of all of the other sneakers in the game. And he was ranking them shits like, these shits is trash. These is not popping. These is da-da-da-da-da. And you don't really see that, but that's real authentic energy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so look. Hell yeah. Good point. Fair point. Understood. Yeah. So, you know, I you know, like I said, I could see. You know what I'm saying? All right, look, man, see what happens. See what happens. Right. The motherfuckers is talking about it. But right. Yeah, that is it's an interesting approach. I'll say that shit. We'll see how it all unfolds. Mm-hmm. See how the shit all unfolds. But yeah. Anyway.
Nerd. All right. Oh, did you watch the goddamn basketball game?
Oh man. Yeah, that was that. You know, I wasn't watching the Olympics until we talked about this shit last week. I really wasn't watching it, but I made a point to catch that gold game after I saw some of the highlights from the Serbia game.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that shit was like a fucking, like that was a nail biter. Right. I saw the gold game. I saw the only thing I saw that, and I saw China sweep the table tennis situation. That shit, they were busting ass. But that fucking gold game was, that shit was great. You know, motherfucking Curry got busy, saved the day a little bit. Like, speaking of the old heads, Curry, LeBron, and KD, you know, I was just thinking about it. I think I'll just say for myself, like, I'm very aware of the fact that we're watching greatness, you know, and it's, you know, it's at the kind of the twilight of those three players' careers, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But they going out with a bang, you know, like they really doing some special shit. Mm-hmm. And I know when I was younger, when Jordan was around and all of that, like I knew it was shit, it was dope, but maybe I was, you know, I might not have been like, this is special. You know what I mean? Like, this is documentary. You see it, you know, and you're seeing it in real time, so sometimes you could just kind of take it for granted for, this is just, you know, status. This is what it is. This is what basketball should be. Mm-hmm. Or this is still great basketball. This is a motherfucker that's one of the best. I realize that. But, like, this, you know, you hear this phrase used a lot, but this is, like, generational talent type shit. Like, right. There was that one moment when in the game where, LeBron passed the ball to Steph. Like, he was cutting from behind the shit, and then he passed that shit to KD, and KD, like, the shit was just smooth. Like, it just, you knew these motherfuckers were at the height of the game. Right. Like, you could just see that shit. And then just the energy, like, to see, there was that one moment when LeBron, he just laid it up, but he just laid the shit up. Like, he just bullied his way to the mm-hmm. hole and just laid the shit up. And then he got his little Lou Ferrigno flex shit right. on, got right. like hype. And then you seen all of the other motherfuckers, Embiid, Anthony Edwards, all of the motherfuckers on the bench doing the same shit. Right. And you felt that, but it was just like, it was just so funny to see that shit because at the end of it all, or everybody going for theirs, everybody want to be a star. But, you know, like LeBron Curry, KD, they are cemented. They in there, right? They shit. You can hang the, you know, they there. Right. So, but you can see that new generation, even though we competed against each other throughout the season and all of that other shit, like, you know, and they be honest about it. Like, they are inspired. So, you see, you could see greatness and then, like, the generation behind greatness, like, really giving motherfuckers their flowers, like, really, like, you know, like, you could see the impact that they have on them, like, right there in front of you. Right. Like, the shit was pretty ill to see.
Because you got to, man. Because when you out there, and let me just two things. One, these Euro leagues and all these other countries, they a whole lot better than they was in 84 and 92 and all them other years. You know what I'm saying? These niggas have advanced their game. You know what I mean? They got the film, too. And they not little jokers, you know what I'm saying? Like Jokic and all them big jokers, man. And
yeah.
And you could see, like, sometimes some of the newer players didn't know as much how to handle that shit. Not that they couldn't score, not that they couldn't get to the hoop and all that, but it was a lot more pressure on them than it was on some of the old heads, per se. You know what I'm saying? Like, KD managed that shit like KD, because KD been around, you know what I'm saying? And play, he a big joker. He done played against big jokers, and he know what to do. He done played against these European jokers. You know what I'm saying? China and Serbia. He done played all of them. You know what I mean? He got 3 gold medals. So
four.
Four. He used to it. Steph is Steph, man. Steph is a motherfucking lead eraser. You can't. Ain't no lead safe when that nigga on the court, man.
Nah.
And you know what I'm saying? He do it. He do it against your favorite team, man. And I ain't never root for Stephen, though. But I knew that his nigga was a problem. You know what I'm saying? A whole problem. And to see what he did and to see that nobody was mad, they let him do it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All right, okay, go ahead. Throw it back to Steph. Poof. You know what I'm saying? Steph got 2 niggas on him. He going to do his little slickery moves that he do. Poof. Same shit he be doing to your favorite team in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And... you know, it ain't no real defense for that shit because he crafty with it. He done perfected that shit. And it was beautiful to watch. And, you know, it felt a lot pressurized because it was in France. You know what I'm saying? It's the home team, home audience. They was getting loud. They still never got the lead, but they were getting loud. They was, you know what I'm saying, doing their thing. It could have been something, but Steph just erased all that shit and it was over.
Yeah, nah, I mean, it's just crazy to watch that cat. It's crazy to watch that cat. He's the illest. That shit, this motherfucker is ridiculous. That what they say, as soon as he get out his car, he's in range. You know what I mean? Like, this shit is crazy, and it's like money in the bank. It's money in the bank, but the other part of it, you could tell, like, he really loved playing. Like, you can see that with the 3 of them. Like, you know, you can see that with all of them. But we were just talking about the vets. Neither 3 of them come across jaded. You know what I'm saying? Like, they fully still in that shit. And, like, they invested. They have the poise of the veteran. But they don't feel checked out. They're not phoning the shit in. Like, they know what they need to do, and they know how to activate that shit, whether it's fucking Steph with 2 cats on him or LeBron just going to the hole. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like you said, everybody's aware of it at this point. Everybody got the film, so it's almost like, yo, you watching that shit in real time. So it is kind of hard to be mad because this is the stage. You know what I mean? They brought the show. So there's that. There was some other shit I was gonna say about the whole thing too that I can't. Oh, I will. I will say this, even though it wasn't. I don't feel like it was all the way. LeBron got dunked on, man. I felt that shit. I was a little upset. I ain't gonna lie to you. I felt upset as an American. It's true. It's true. It could happen. That's what happens. It's like boxing. Niggas can get knocked out. But it just felt like, wait a minute. And it wasn't like he went up with him. Yeah, but he definitely, he, you know, he tried to take the charge. And my man was like, oh, word, fuck that. So, but you know, that shit, it was funny That shit was so funny. Like, I went on Twitter immediately, like, typed in LeBron dunked on, because I know I wasn't the only person that was, like, feeling the way about that shit.
The trending tag was, damn, Bron.
yeah, man. That shit was crazy. I thought he was going to get some revenge at some point. Nah, I mean, they won. I thought he was going to try to bang on this cat.
Nah.
It wasn't that
because, you know what I'm saying, if you watch that whole game, all them 50-50 type calls was going to go to Paris, man. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't no fussing with the refs and none of that shit. So he was in the right spot. He was out the restricted area. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he was moving or not, but shit, the nigga went and did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He was about to bang it on Steph, too. They all came to the rescue. But this kid was like, fuck that. I'm going for Mons, and I'm not mad. I like the spirit of that shit. Fuck that. Yeah.
But them niggas, when it came down to the stretch, them niggas got serious, man. Niggas, Anthony Davis was blocking them shots. Niggas was trying to throw them shits off the backboard. You know what I'm saying? So they wasn't letting nothing slide, even though them France cats was crafty. You know what I'm saying? They was good. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, them leagues is getting better. You see, Sudan, you know what I'm saying, got in the mix. You know what I'm saying? Them niggas ain't had no team. You know what I'm saying? This nigga just put that team together. But niggas is getting big. Niggas know how to get big cats and how to instill them skills, man. So the world is getting smaller as it relates to the skill set of basketball, which people not realizing when they look at Dream Team and all that, the world wasn't as advanced in the sport yet. You know what I'm saying? We were still the only show in town. Now, these other leagues is getting advanced. And probably someday it will be a world championship of basketball. Maybe. One day.
Maybe.
The Olympics was it. So, niggas did prove to be the world champions of basketball.
They got that off.
I don't know what he talk about. Like, nigga, we here to do it.
Right. Nah, I see what he was saying. As far as the NBA goes.
Right.
But yeah, nah, that shit was great.
He's still a young nigga too. And a lot of us still come from the era of the NBA had the greatest basketball players, period. It wasn't no fucking question about that. Now people might have a question about that. You know what I'm saying? Now you go play at the Olympics, it's just like niggas got a challenge for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also, go ahead.
They proved to be the world champions, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of those great players from those other countries, a lot of them do play in the NBA. Like, that's still where you test your mettle. That's where you get,
that's what I'm saying. That's what
he's just talking.
He's just feeling this, so.
Yeah, man. But shit was good. It was good game. Good TV. That was enough Olympics for me. You know what I'm saying? Besides all the little clips and shit, I seen.
Track was looking good, man.
Yeah, I heard. Shit was cool. I saw the clip with Sha'Carri winning the gold in that 400. That shit looked good. Was crazy.
Niggas was getting busy, man. Yeah,
it's fly. Felt good to be an American. You know what I'm saying?
Now that it's over. Back to the bullshit.
Right, here we go. But, man. So, speaking of, not back to the bullshit, because it ain't bullshit.
No, I'm talking about
intense.
After the Olympics, you get back to, No,
I was forcing another transition.
Oh, shit.
There's no need for these transitions at this point. Yo, on another note, Industry came back, right? Season 3 Industry, you know, I fucks with Industry.
Mm-hmm.
Getting you hip to Industry. You started watching season 1.
I'm getting caught up.
Yeah. So we'll get a little bit more expansive in the next few episodes, but I wanted you to talk about Industry overall, because, I forgot watching episode 1 of season 3, just how fucking intense that show could be, how weird that show could be, how invested I could be in like virtual companies and stocks that, you know, I have no, you know, and even all the way invested into shit that I don't fully understand. You know, I shout out to my man, Johnny Mingo. I think we had him on the pod once. He's one of my homies who's heavy in the finance game. Shout out to my man Sox Diddy. You know, certain cats that are like they of that backdrop who I might every so often say, yo, what's this about? What's going on here? You know what I mean? But I'm a big fan of the show, but as somebody that's just getting acclimated, you starting to jump into it. What are your thoughts so far? What's your impression?
I mean, I'm not going to go too far into it, but you know what I'm saying? It's a little intense, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, when you told me about it, you was like, yeah, you'll breeze right through it. You know what I'm saying? They like 30-minute episodes, whatever. I'm thinking it's about to be a little light chop. Nah, nigga. Them shits is brolic, nigga, full 50 minutes.
What? Yeah, I don't know why I thought that. My bad. Yeah, I
misgauged my time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then, so once you throw it off a little bit, thinking it's gonna be like, you know what I'm saying, some quick shit, and you had to turn your mind back to, oh no, nah, I gotta get invested in this shit. Now I laid back and started to watch it, but I gotta like go back a couple times to kind of really get the businesses, and you know what I'm saying, how all this shit going. So, you know what I'm saying, by the time we talk next week, I'll be fully more invested in the show. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They start talking that British accent, nigga be like, oh my, you know what I'm saying, nigga need more focus, you know what I'm saying, than what I was dealing with.
Mm. Go ahead.
No, I think that for me, that is going to be a good watch, but I need to place myself in the time frame to do it. Cause I'm saying I placed it like, okay, I'll watch, you know what I'm saying, being at 30 minutes, shit, I can get these done right quick. And then when you realize I started to panic, like, oh shit, I'm not gonna finish this shit longer than a motherfucker. So I did more of that than actually studying the show.
Enjoying it.
You know what I'm saying? I know now it's a thing. You got to sit down, pour yourself something to drink, lay back, and get into it. You know what I'm saying? And that's not what I had myself set up to do. And I apologize for not.
It's all good. Yeah. I was just curious because it's been so long. Like, I actually used a little recap, you know, typically at the top of every new season, they do the little recap of the last season or whatever. Mm. I typically just go skip past that. But this time I was like, let me get reacclimated to what was going on
in
the last season, just because it's been so long, they take a little while. Right. And I'm not going to say anything that's going to spoil your viewing experience.
Yeah, I get it.
Because I do think that, like, I remember, I want to say it came out in 2020 during the pandemic. So it was like a sleeper show, similar to like The Bear and all of that. And I just remember like, yo, this shit is all right. And I remember it was only 8 episodes. That's probably why I thought it was only half an hour joints, because it was one of the early short order type of shows.
Right.
And I kind of flew through it. I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, when they first rolled it out, they might, I don't know if they put all 8 up, but they put up like a few at a time. Now they got an audience, they doing it, you know, episodically, week to week to week. But, you know, as you get further in it, ultimately, when we right there, I want to discuss some of these characters, because I do think you're in for a ride. There's some hella fire.
I get to
arcs.
Learn these people.
Yeah. Let us know. You know, if you fucking with, if you watching it, let us know who some of your favorite characters are, blah, blah, blah. We're gonna break it down. We're gonna get into it. And then, we also got, I forget, shout out to my mans. I don't have my phone right in front of me, but one of our listeners, hit me with a crazy list of suggestions of, yo, you want, I heard you was looking for some shit to watch. I was like, right. hold on now. We ain't here for homework. But he got a whole list of shit. It was pretty interesting. He actually did a ranking of the shows in a certain order. So it was kind of interesting.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? Another thing was I was fresh off of ending the show Dark Matter. Shout out to Kissa. Remember Kissa from Vibe?
Of course, yeah.
Kissa
yeah.
came through, and then we was talking about some shit, and then she was like, you should check out Dark Matter, you know what I'm saying? So check that shit out and watch that shit through right before I started industry. And that shit was cool. That shit ended, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that shit sounded
no,
like
no, 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 no. I mean, it was good. And then when you got to the end, it's kind of like, it just got silly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like probably like some real scientific shit that would happen if you did some shit like that. But it kind of be like, come on, this how y'all going to go out? Oh, man, shit. But it was a good show. It was good scientific. And, you know, I'd be all into the quantum leaps and shit like that.
Right.
So that shit was really good as far as breaking life down into some of these scientific things and really looking at, you know, the choices you make, you know what I'm saying? And how the choices you make, you know, affect everything in your life. And and the premise of it was this dude built a box where you were able to go and participate in different parts of your options, like timeline jumping. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's basically you could jump to a whole another timeline and, you know, and take it from there. You know what I mean? And so the one dude was really looking to correct some of the regrets that he had as far as choices that he made. So he went through different timelines and jumped into one that made a choice that he could fuck with. And then he basically tried to replace the dude who was actually living that life with himself and get him out of the way, thinking that the dude would like his life a lot better. And obviously he would like his life better, which gave the whole story all these twists and turns for one dude to try to get home and get this nigga up out of here. And then blah, 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 blah. It was good, you know, at that end, and I could take it and leave it as it was. I'm, you know, I mean, if they did a season two, I'd watch it. But you know what I'm saying? If it ends right there, I could believe it too.
All right. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of. I haven't had Apple TV in a minute. The you know Apple Plus or whatever. I haven't had that. I've been thinking about it because I've been hearing people talking about a lot of good shows over there on Apple. So I might. Fuck around and resubscribe, get back in the mix.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've been hearing some shit. I got some room free. So we'll see what's what.
Dark matter.
Yeah. There it is.
Word up.
Well, shit, I think it's time for us to transform, roll out. You know what I mean?
Word
up. Listen, y'all. August 30th, 31st. Comedy/Bar Seattle, Washington. Tickets still available. Go to DamianLemon.com. Let's sell this shit out. That's really priority right now. Beyond that, you know, shit. Stay tuned to this, you know, as we do. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.